Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, and many other things. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in the big guy, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Marshall. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
I hope you're doing well. It's a gorgeous day. Lots of things happening. I'd like to, however, begin what I think is probably the most important thing I can say today. It's rather serious in nature. And as I speak generally, you know, I'm looking into the aspects of freedom and people's rights. I do that in various conversations. So today I want you to join with me in remembrance of the liberation 75 years ago of Auschwitz. Auschwitz came into my memory as a little boy, and all I can say is that anytime I hear the word, it's one of those words that kind of wake you up and turn you around and make you think and make you sad, but also make you somewhat happy in that the people who survived this atrocity live on. And as we saw on Monday and during the previous week, many of the survivors of Auschwitz, which was the most notorious German concentration killing camp in the Second World War, those people, they live on. And, you know, there's a reason for everything, and most of the time we human beings don't know what it is. We get a feeling for it, maybe a little inspiration from it. But I think for anybody who's got somewhat of his consciousness and awareness open, we should realize that these people have lived on to tell the story of what human beings can do to other human beings when they're out of control for whatever reason they have been out of control. 1,000,001 Jews out of 1,000,003 died at Auschwitz. And they died for no reasons at all other than that they were Jewish. So those 200,000 remind me of the rights that I have in this country. And they remind me that I don't want to lose those rights because people who've come to these shores of immigrants from all over the world, be it Asia or the Middle East or Europe, they've proven to me by the way they step into life, live it, and enjoy it, that, yes, this is the freest country. Yes, this is the country in which a human being can prosper. It used to be without much fear, but at least with not too much fear. I say that only that you take this into your heads and, more importantly, your hearts and your brains in looking at the upcoming election in November. We have a person who is president, who is a demagogue, who wants to be and is to a degree a dictator, who will sacrifice human life or human pride at a moment's instance. We must get rid of this person. In the spirit of Auschwitz, we don't want to reelect him, only to help him and his cohorts can continue to take away our freedoms and continue, at first mentally, financially, imprison us. So that is my very sincere thought for the day. I really hope you take it to heart. I know there are a lot of things going on, but boy, when you get up in the morning and you can do whatever the hell you want, and you don't have somebody marching you here or there and telling you what to work, telling you what to eat, trust me, it's a great feeling. Yep. Having been in the service, which is not anywhere near what I'm talking about, when you're young, getting into the discipline of the military can be quite quite interesting, quite challenging. But that said, what we saw over 75 years ago is beyond the pale. So please, let's enter into gratitude for what we have by waking up and recognizing. I don't care whether one argues this, that, or the other thing. It's basic freedom we're talking here, folks. We're not talking about my thought is better than your thought. The reason you can say that is because you live in the freest country in the world. So have gratitude for it, act on it, put your brain to work, and vote this man and his colleagues who have basically enabled him. The Republican Party has enabled this man. They saw he wanted power. They saw he got power, and they wanted a piece of it. And when this all falls out, we're going to find how many of these Republican senators and representatives took the money to do the deed. That's all I have on this section.
Well, I want to go back to Auschwitz for just a second, because it's one of those things that should forever be taught to every single American that goes through our education system. It's one of those things that can't be forgotten. Most people think of Auschwitz, I do believe nowadays, as a terrorist camp, an encampment. But it was a death factory. And here's the amazing thing about it: over a million Jews were deported. Listen to this: over a million. This is how big this place was. Auschwitz wasn't one just camp. There were four or five camps that were put together. Over 1 million Jews, okay? Right now, estimates are that out of the 1 million Jews that were deported there, 900,000 died in that one camp. And there were more camps, but 900,000 lives were so big. It was so big, and it housed so many people. And it wasn't a prisoner detention facility. It wasn't a prisoner of war facility. It wasn't a way to keep people separated.
It was a death camp. It was an extermination camp.
And here's the thing. We remember the Bataan Death March. Okay, yeah. we talk and we remember about the Bataan Death March, which was horrific and absolutely. But everything in modern
man's
civilization
humanity, man.
Can compare to Auschwitz. Nothing. It's something that has to be taught, just because it's man and humanity to man.
And what is really frustrating about it is that these kids get further and further away from it.
They get further and further disconnected from
it. And they don't really believe that either it happened or that it was. And, it sounds like a digression, but it's not. Some of the horrific conditions in Japanese prison camps and the brutality and the just, again, people didn't come home necessarily and talk about it, but you knew about it in being taught. And now there's sort of it's so far away, and it's so wrong, and that it's even allowed to. Some focus really does need to be broader focus, not just in the Jewish community, not just during anniversaries, but broader focus needs to be put on this so that it will never happen again.
Well,
it needs to never happen again.
Go to the news out of China. I mean, you've had the re-education camps, where Muslims are taken to re-education camps.
Yeah, the Uyghurs. There's you had it as recently in the 90s, you had it with Bosnia, you had the
Bosnia-Herzegovina. No, yeah. Absolutely.
And the way that, you think, well, we've come a long way, baby. And if you're just basically eradicating, you've got it in Myanmar with the Rohingyas right now. You know, it's people just sort of.
I'm just looking here right now. The Auschwitz concentration camp was a complex, listen to this, of over 40 concentration and extermination camps.
Yeah.
That's the sheer size of this.
It was a big operation. Yeah. It was an industrial size operation. And
You can't lose sight of that in history. You just can't and say, oh, that can never happen again, because it has happened, not on that level, but it's happened over and over in the history of the world, Jim.
Well, the words never again are not really enough, as you've implied, which is why I sincerely believe that parents who really want their children to grow up with a sense of what they have in this world, in this country, will have the guts to educate them very, very straightforwardly on what happened in Auschwitz in the Second World War, and let them know the horror that can happen when human beings basically have lost control by getting total control. And I think a parent, I know if my kids were kids, which they're no longer, I would be, based on what's going on in our country, show them, and you can get it right up on the internet, and it's on the BBC, off and on, pictures of the camp when they actually were freed by the Russians. And look at the incredible, incredible, sad, horrific human beings who have been so tortured, not only physically, but mentally. And I don't know what age a kid might be. A parent would know. 8 or 10 might be too late. But certainly these kids who might be full of bravado, a little white supremo thing entering in, or I'm better than everybody else, or this or that, they might need to be shown these things. And to wake them up to their reality, not to scare them, but to make sure they begin to understand the risk that even this great country has if we continue down certain paths. It's so interesting. I watched a very good movie, The Two Popes, two primo actors, during the movie, the riots in Buenos Aires, where one of the popes actually came from, shows what happens when a dictatorship comes forward. The other one that I've seen recently on the BBC was a clip on the El Salvador repression, and they began losing it when they just outright killed 6 Jesuit priests. While the Holocaust stands out over and above anything in our time and existence, we have seen numerous cases where dictators, demagogues, try to and or do succeed to the time for taking over a country, and the process, people will disappear, they'll be murdered, they'll be tortured. It's very important for young people to know this, because we're kidding ourselves if we kid them by not letting them know that there's something in all human beings, if untethered, is like a deadly snake. And they must be aware of that, and they have a very peaceful remedy. It's called learning the comings and goings of what makes our government, who the people are who are running our government, and who they should vote for within the framework of them wanting to continue a peaceful, free life. This idea of I'm better than he or vice versa, well, when you're lying on a slab and you're dying, you're better than nobody. And I think if maybe in this country, particularly where I think maybe we all think we're going to live forever, we might want to really focus on every breath we take and how good it was or how enjoyable it was or how great it was for our fellow man. Because no matter how much you have or how much you don't have, you end up in the same 6 feet of hole.
You know, we're talking, and I can remember back my grandfather, Melvin Dennis, and my grandmother. And she was a Republican. She was a Democrat, and he was a Republican. And one day, one election, she wouldn't drive him to the polls because because he was going to vote for the Republicans. And I'll never forget what he said to her. He said it coming out of the dining room into almost where our front porch was. He looked at her and he said, and I'm going to say it exactly like he said it, "Jesus Christ, Millie, I fought the Germans so I could vote." And it was a funny line back then, but if he were alive today, he would be staggered to see Nazi flags all over the place.
That's right.
We tend to forget sometimes, yes, we are a country that goes to war a lot, but we are a country that has contributed mightily to the freedom of a lot of people. And I just don't think that young people nowadays understand enough about the past to really realize about the freedoms that we've lost since 9/11. I mean, if you were to sit down and do a study, you would be amazed at the freedoms that have gone by the board since we were attacked on September 11th.
You queued up something for me. The Second World War, which we won, and we won handily. We came into it late. But this country is so great, we got it together. But what happened after the war? We welcomed immigrants. We welcomed people who were down and out. We supported those people. We brought them into the fold. And it helped make us a bigger and better country because we needed their energy. You need the energy of somebody who wants freedom. If somebody wants something 120%, and your country is at 90%, they're going to add something to you and to your country. And we recognize it, which is why now what we're doing with immigration is so stupid. We have computers to figure out the numerical thing and the background checks and so forth. There's no excuse for this. Before we leave, Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Kobe Bryant is a hero. And he's a hero not because he might be one of the greatest basketball players. He's a hero because at 18 years old, he wanted to do something he really loved. And he had such intensity, he did it well. But more importantly, as Will Chamberlain has said about him, he was much greater than his 20 years of incredible achievement in basketball. He has created charities. He has created schools. He has created four daughters, a wonderful family. Everybody loved him because of that smile, because of that articulation. His dad took him to Italy for a job or something when he was six. He learned Italian. So what he's done, he's helped build more of an appreciation for soccer here for our youth, and he's built a whole a billion fans in China for basketball. There were over a billion comments on the computer from China alone. But the point is, it was his spark, it was his spirit, it was his freedom. And the thing is, if we could just take this one black man and say, hey, let's show it to the rest of the world. Hey, this guy was great in a lot of ways. He's giving back to his community. Why do we allow a scoundrel in the White House sell black shorts, sell Mexican shorts, basically sell anybody and everybody short who doesn't agree with him? Anyhow.
All right.
Is that it?
That's it. We're out of time. We got to stretch it out. Jim, we'll speak to you next week.
It's getting instinctive. Now, I feel it in my toes when it's time.
Okay.
I love you. Have a good week.
Take
bye-bye.
Care, Jim. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.